Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara on Daf Samach Ches on Mibbeis dealt with a situation of an achbor, sometimes translated as a mouse, falling into beer. And we saw in that Gemara that Rav forbade the beer. As far as the reasons behind Rav saying that the beer was forbidden, so we saw Rav Sheshes offering his explanation, and then Rava sharing with us his ideas on the topic at the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara continues now, dealing with another situation of a sheretz or achbor mixture. Ibaya laho, the Gemara, those words are found at the last, those are the last two words of Samach Ches Amud Beis. Ibaya laho, the question is raised, and we continue now at the top of Samach Ches Amud Aleph. Nofal legoi cholo mai. What would be the halacha if the sheretz, the critter, falls into Chola, vinegar? Rashi at the top explains why, after having dealt with Shecha, we're now turning to analyze a achbor chola mixture. Rashi says at the top, Nofa lego chola mai, mi amrinon, do we say, hachoymetz, tahamoy koshe, the vinegar has a very intense taste to it. Ve'ena sheretz mefigoy loseis boitam. The critter that fell into the vinegar doesn't have enough strength to impart its own taste into the vinegar. In other words, the strength of the vinegar remains intense so that the sheretz taste would not be perceived. Omar le Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi. Havi uvdo be Rav Kahana. There was an incident in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, the Osa Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana prohibited the consumption of the vinegar into which the achbor had fallen. Amalei, so Rav Ashi, upon hearing Rav Hillel's account, says, Hahu im ratuti imritit. The case that took place in the Bay Rav Kahana was a case where the sheretz that fell in was actually shredded up into small pieces. And we're choshesh, we suspect that if one uses the vinegar, he might end up swallowing small pieces of sheretz together with the vinegar. That is not an issue of taste anymore, but that's an issue of actual substance. And that is forbidden. Ravina savar lishuri b'meo v'chad. Ravina had the idea to rule that if a sheretz fell into the chola, you would need 101 times the chola to counter the sheretz. Omar, and he figured, he reasoned, lo gora mitruma. It's not any worse than truma, or it's not, it shouldn't be treated any, we'll say, any lighter than we treat a truma chulin mixture. Truma being a substance that is forbidden to non-kohanim. Disnan truma oila be'echonumea. The Tanaic source teaches, and you can see we have it in a frame, as we do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. The truma becomes void in a mixture only if there are 101 times against it. Omale Rav Tachlifa bar Gizo le Ravina. Rav Tachlifa reacts to Ravina's ruling and says, "Why do you say 101 times. Dilma kitavlin shel truma bekedera dummy. Maybe we should view the sherets in the vinegar as one would view truma spices in a pot of food. Dilo botil tamayu, where 101 times would not be sufficient when you're dealing with spices. So that maybe you should treat the sherets as a type of spice, if you will, and 101 times would not, even that would not be sufficient. Rav Achoy Shi'er B'chola, we've introduced a double underline here to highlight two different cases. The case of falling into Chola, and the next case is Shi'er B'shichra, when the calculation necessary when it falls into Shechar, beer. So Rav Achoy Shi'er B'chola B'chamshin, he felt that if a sheretz falls into vinegar, it's sufficient to have 50 times the vinegar, the heter, the allowed vinegar. Since the vinegar is so strong, you don't need that much of the heter substance to counter the sheretz. Rav Shmuel Brei Rav Ika Shi'er B'shichra B'shisin. Rav Shmuel, when dealing with the case of falling into, with a sheretz falling into beer, he requires 60 times the beer relative to the sherets in order to allow the beer. And here, of course, we're not dealing with the shredded up sherets, but rather with the issue of the taste it would impart. The Hilchasa, Idi V'Idi B'Shisin, and the Gemara itself rules that in both cases, even in the case of the Chola, you would require 60 times, not 50. V'chein kol isurin shebatorah, and likewise with regard to all mixtures of that which is forbidden, falling into that which is allowed, you'll need to have in general, even though the Gemara uses a very sweeping expression of all isurin of the Torah, in general we will say it is, you need to have 60 times the heter substance in order to mevatel the forbidden substance, in order to cancel the forbidden substance and be able to use the mixture. As we turn to the continuation of the Gemara, we notice we have a new Mishnah. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Dugmois shel Yayin Yisrael Shekayim Efshu Shema Noga Bo Goy. Different examples of kosher wine where there is a possibility that a Gentile touched the wine itself, and that would render it problematic. That brings us back into the realm of Yayin Nesech, Gentile touched wine where there exists a suspicion that maybe he poured the wine or dabbled in the wine as a ritual act of idolatry, which we've seen in previous Gemaras, creating a Yayin Nesech situation. The Mishnah says, Oved Kochovim Shoyamavir LeYisrael Kade Yayin Mimokom Lemokom. A Gentile who was transporting flasks of kosher wine from place to place, Imhoya Bechezkas HaVishtamer Muter. If we can say that the wine had been under watch, under guard, then it's okay. Im hodio shumaflig, if the Jewish owner informed the Gentile transporting the wine that the Jew is going to be distancing himself, taking a little diverting a little bit from the path, from the trip, then the issue of is how long is he absent from the presence of the wine? How long is the Jewish owner or the Jewish the shomer, the one who's watching it, how long is he going to be absent? So the Tanakhama says, Kedei she yishtom. Yishtom means to open. V'yistom means to seal. V'yigov. Yigov has to do with drying out. What we're talking about here is that if there's enough time, if the absence of the guard or the owner is enough time that the Gentile could make a hole in the seal of the barrel. The seal is, generally speaking, it's a clay top pasted onto the top, pasted on and attached to the top of the barrel. So if there's enough time for him to, for the Gentile to pierce a hole in the seal and then have it filled up with sealing material and dry out so that it wouldn't be perceptible anymore, then the wine would be forbidden if that amount of time passed. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Shi'uro b'chdei shi'ishtom v'yistom v'yigov im shoha. If the guard tarried or stayed away, k'dei shi'ikov ha'ovid k'chovim nekev v'magufas ha'chovis, enough time that the Gentile could make a hole in the seal of the barrel, v'yachsor v'yistom ha'nekev v'tiva shastima, and then fill it up with filler and have the sealing material, the filling material, dry out, also then the wine would be considered forbidden. And once again, if that amount of time lapsed. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon Gamliel has a different time standard. He says it does not become forbidden, the wine does not become forbidden until there's enough time, k'day shiyiftach esachovis vigov v'tigov, enough time to open up the barrel. And by opening up the barrel, it's impossible to open up a clay seal without it breaking. Therefore, what would be necessary is enough time to not only open up the barrel, but to create an entire new clay seal, new cover to the barrel, and enough time not only to prepare the covering of it, but also for the covering to dry up, and only then would it become... the wine would be considered usser. In other words, it would have been enough time for foul play to have taken place. So we can say that Reb Shimon Gamliel is lenient in the sense that he would allow for enough time, a more absence time of the shomer, of the guard of the wine, in the event that he informed the Gentile that he's going to be diverting from their trip for a while. Another example, we have listed off the examples with a number in a circle. This is the second scenario. Haminiach yeno bekoron o besfina. A Jew left his wine in a cart or in a boat. V'holach lo bekapandario. V'nichnas lemedina. V'rochatz. And he diverted from the journey, went into town, and bathed. Mutter. The wine, even though the owner left it to go into town, Rashi points out, "V'nichnas l'medina v'rochatz v'merchatz muter kivan de'ovi k'chovim lo yoda de'shohi mirtas v'lo noga." Even though going into a bathhouse involves a lengthy delay, Rashi points out that the wine is still muter because the Gentile didn't know how long he's going to be away; he didn't inform him. However, im hodio shu maflig, if, however, the Jewish owner of the wine or the guard of the wine informed the Gentile that he is going to be delayed, he's going to be maflig, literally means to distance himself, but means he's going to be away, then the Gentile has a certain feeling of comfort that he could conceivably dabble in the wine and get away with it. So we say as follows, like we said before, k'dei shi'ishtom v'yistom v'yigov. If the Jew was away enough time to pierce a hole and seal it and have the filler material dry out, if that amount of time went by, then the wine would be forbidden. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, k'dei shi'iftach esachovis v'yigov v'sigov. The same standard as we saw in case one, where it would be more time would be allowed for the Jew's absence in the event that he informed the Gentile of his anticipated absence. Enough time to create an entire new seal and have it dry out. If that amount of time went by, so as we said before, the wine would be usser. A third example. Haminiach oved kechavim bechonus. A Jew left a Gentile in a wine store. Afalpi shi yotze v'nichnas, even though the owner, the Jewish owner, leaves and comes in, he goes back and forth, mutter, namely, even though he's not around constantly, the wine is not ruined. Once again, because the Gentile doesn't know when the Jew comes in and could catch him dabbling in the wine. V'im hodio shu maflig. If, however, the owner, the Jewish owner, informs the Gentile that he is going to be going away, then k'dei shi yishtom v'yistom v'yigov. The same standard as we saw before, Rav Shimon le'omer, k'dei shi yiftach esovis v'yigov v'sigov. Also the same as he said earlier. Hoy ochel imoy al hashulchan. The Jew and Gentile are having a meal together. V'hiniach loginin al hashulchan. The login al hadulviki, and they left a flask of wine on the table. This is wine that's available for immediate drinking purposes, and a flask of wine on the dulviki. The oruch on the inside margin of the Gemara mentions has a different girsa and mentions that it's a piece of furniture in which wine is held, possibly for storage purposes. So the Gentile and Jew had been having a meal together, some wine on the table and some wine in this other piece of furniture, this dulviki. V'hinicho v'yotza, and the Jew walked out. We say as follows, Masha al hashulchan osir, that which is on the table, the wine that's on their table, that's forbidden. She'al ha-dulviki mutter. However, the wine that's on the dulviki, which is wine that's not there for immediate drinking purposes, that is okay. Rashi points out, ma she'al ha-shulchan osir, de meima omar ovi kechovim zeh, that this Gentile figures, Yisrael zeh, zimnani le'achol v'lishtos. This Jew invited me to have a meal with him, to eat and drink with him. So therefore, v'noga, he feels free to touch it. He was, after all, invited to be at this meal, so there's no built-in deterrent for him not to touch it. However, the wine that's on the dulviki, that's okay. V'im omar lo, if the Jew told his Gentile guest, have a mosaic v'shoseh, help yourself, fill up your cup, self-service. Then, Af she'al ha-dulviki osir. That which is on the dulviki as well would be forbidden. Chovios, barrels of wine that are in the house. Psuchos asuros, open barrels, they are also forbidden, with the fear being that the Gentile dabbled in it. Stumos mutaros, sealed barrels would be okay, provided kedeshe yiftach v'yigov v'sigov. This is a standard of time that is similar to that which Rav Shimon Gamliel used before. The sealed barrels would be allowed as long as the Jew was not absent enough time to open up the barrel entirely and create a new seal and have it dry out. The Mishnah at the beginning, if you want to see where this expression is coming from, so you can take advantage of the arrow that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. This corresponds to an arrow found on the upper part of the page, the beginning of the Mishnah, where you saw the expression Mahoya Becheskas HaMishtamer. This expression, what is meant by it? If we said in the Mishnah that if a Gentile was transporting flasks of kosher wine, if the wine is becheskas hamishtamer, then it's okay. The Gemara answers, Kedisanya. We can illustrate this with the following Tanaic source. Hare shehoyu chamorav upoalav teunim taros. Chamorav are donkey drivers and poalav workers. Person has these different workers that are carrying taharos. Those are food items that should remain tar, should remain ritually pure. Afilu hiflig mehen yosmi mil taroisav taharos. Even if the owner distanced himself from these workers more than a meal, more than a kilometer approximately, the items that were supposed to remain pure are considered pure, are considered tohor. The im omar lahen, if he told them, lechu, go ahead, va'ani bo acharechem, and I'll be coming up later. Kevon shenis almo eino mehem, once they lose eye contact, taroisav tameos. Then the food substances that were supposed to remain tar lose their tohor status and become viewed as ritually impure. Maishno reisho maishno seifa. What is the difference between the reisho case and the seifa case? If we look in the Rashi, he explains the question. Maishna reishu maishna seifa ha ka chazina luhu dinagu dekotani teunin taros. In the reisho case, where it ruled that they are tahor, how can they remain tahor? Does he not see that these workers are handling the food? And vahani lav chobios ninhu shu stumos. We're not talking about transporting barrels that may be sealed. Omar, so the Gemara answers, Omar of Yitzhok, Reisho, B'metayir, Chamorov, Upoalov, Lekach. The Reisho features a case where they were themselves purified. In other words, they were, workers were brought to a mikveh, they immersed themselves, and therefore any further touching that they do would not pose a threat to the tohor status of the food that they are handling. We see in this section of Gemara a new marking. We have a double underline. This double underline is explained on the side. We've also added a dot to these double underlines to contrast it with the double underlines featured earlier on this particular omid. They are Sidro Shel Kushios Birur Al Habraisa, series of questions for clarification purposes of this Tanaic source. So the first question was raised and we also answered it. The ratio, how the stuff can remain tar, is because they were purified for this purpose. They were immersed in a mikveh. Ihachi Seifa Nami. If that be the case, so in the Seifa as well, even if he lost eye contact with them, why do we say Tomei? The people handling it are themselves tohar. The Gemara answers, Ein am horetz makpid al maga chavero. The workers here are not scholarly individuals. They're not trustworthy within the realm of Tumas and Taurus. They are ame horetz. Am horetz being a classification of people that are not particularly concerned with these issues of maintenance of tahara. And therefore, they will not stop one of their friends who are not tahar from touching it. That's called, they're not makbid al maga chaveru, contact with someone else coming along and touching it. Ihochi, if you're talking about amaratzim, then afilu reisho nami name ahochi. In the reisho as well, we should say the same thing. And even if he's maflig, or we should say that in a case that he distances himself, once he distances himself from them, as was featured in the reisho, the food should be under suspicion that maybe they allowed their friends to handle it. Why then in the reisho does the source rule that the food is tohor? Omar Rava beba lohem derech akalson. The situation there is that the owner that's interested in the food remaining tar may come upon them in a roundabout way. He'll spring up on them from an unanticipated direction, and therefore there's a built-in deterrent. Ihachi seifa nami. Well, if there's this deterrent of his coming in some roundabout way and spotting them, are they not? Why in the seifa of the same source does that possibility not serve as a deterrent? The Gemara answers, Kevan di Omar lahem, since in the Seifa he said to them, L'chu v'ani ovoy acharechem, go ahead, I'm coming up later. Samcha datayu, that gave them a feeling of security, that he's not going to spring up on them so quickly, and as a result of that, they wouldn't hesitate they wouldn't stop any friends of theirs from handling it, from handling the taharos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a little note that is accompanied by a star in the margin, indicating the following. Let us read the note. Anu mamlitzim, we recommend, shiehei tzitut mehamishna, that the quote that the Gemara is about to provide from the Mishnah, shiaschil mi mikre horishon, that the quote should start from the first example, akum shehoya mavir chovios, the case of the Gentile transporting barrels, v'yamshich ad mikre hashlishi, and the quote should continue until the third example as well. In other words, we're recommending that one should look back to the Mishnah and see the Mishnah from the first example of the Akum that was transporting Chovios. So when you look at the Mishnah, you notice that there were several sections to the Mishnah. The first three sections featured what seemed to be the same machlokas between Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel concerning the amount of time that the owner, if absent, would then create a problem for the kashrus of the wine. With that in mind, namely that the Mishnah featured several examples with the same machlokas in it, we turn to the Gemara and now say, we're looking at the Gemara, fourth line from the top, the end of line, Utsricha. In other words, I need all of the cases, those three cases. De'i tana oved kochavim. If we would teach you that the wine is mutter in the case of the Gentile moving the barrels, the savar, this of course was a circumstance that the owner did not tell the Gentile that he was going to be distancing himself. So if we would tell you that the wine is mutter in that case, the case of Oved Kochavim that was transporting barrels, case the first one, the Savar, the Gentile figure, Dilma Osi V'chazi Le, he might come any moment and see me, and therefore he doesn't want to dabble in the wine and be caught. Aval Bekoron Obesvina, in that example, the case of the wine being transported in the cart or the Svina, this was case number two. Emo de maflig lo lisvinte vi ovad mai de boy, that the Gentile could sail the boat out at a distance and do whatever he wants and dabble in the wine, and let us therefore prohibit the wine even if the owner did not tell him that he was going to be going away, and therefore it was necessary to teach that that's not the case. And we don't say that. V'i tana, and if we would teach you that case, that the wine is mutter b'koron obesvina, why is it mutter? Because there is a deterrent, mishum desavar, the Gentile figures, dilma osi b'urcha achriti v'koi aguda v'chazili. He might come back in some other, following some other route, and stand on a wall, stand on something tall, and see me. So he'll spot me handling the wine, figures the Gentile. Avol oive kichovim bechanuso, in the third example, where he left a Gentile in the wine store, the wine shop. Emo ochid lo lebovav ovid kol devoy. One might have thought that the Gentile has the option of ochid is to close the door, the bova is the door, and do whatever he wants. The Mishnah informs us that even though that possibility may exist, nevertheless the Gentile feels he could be caught, and therefore the wine remains mutter. There's a deterrent built in. The Mishnah informs us not to concern ourselves with that possibility, the possibility of the Gentile locking the door.
At this point in the Gemara, the focus turns to the machlokus we saw in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Shum and Leo with regard to the case where the Jew informs the Gentile of his departure. We said if a certain amount of time lapses, then the wine could become ruled as forbidden. The amount of time was the subject of a machlokus, Rabbi Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel allowing for more time of absence before the wine would be ruled forbidden. Omar Rabo Bar Bachanam Rabbi Yochanan Machlokes Bishel Sid. The controversy, the machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel dealt with a case where the cover of the barrel, the seal, the magufa, was made of Sid material. Aval Bishel Tit. If it's made of tit material, divrei hakol, everyone would agree with the longer amount of time, even the Tanakhama. Kedei sheyiftach, that means enough time to open the barrel entirely, not just to pierce a hole, but to open the barrel entirely, v'igov, and create a new seal, v'igov, and it dry out. It may be noted that with regard to tit, when the tit is fresh, before it dries out, it's black. Let us take a look at the Rashi. From the third line from the top, at the end of the line, Rashi says, Machlokes b'shel sid, b'magufa shel sid, shehi levona. It's a light-colored substance. Hu, the chayshi rabbonon lishsuma. Only in the white-colored seal are the Rabbanan concerned with the possibility of the piercing, the mere piercing, which is a shorter amount of time, a shorter span of time that we could allow. The Kevan de Lovanhu, since it's a white color, lo minkar, bein chodosh liyoshan, one will not notice a difference between a new filler material, and old material. The sid is always white, whether it be fresh or dried out. Avol shel tit, Rashi goes on, shehu shochor b'tchivaso, it's black initially. V'afalpi shehu noguv, eino malbin ad yoim o yoimayim. The nature of tit is that even when it dries out, it remains dark until a day or two passes. Divrei hakol, everyone will agree, lo chayshinon lishesuma. We're not going to worry about the piercing of a pre-existing seal. Why not? Deminkira shesimas hachor bishar hamagufa. Imagine you have a seal that has been there for a while. It then, even if it's tit, it does eventually turn white. If the Gentile were to pierce a hole in it and fill it up, the contrast in color between the filler material, being that we're dealing with tit, the filler material being dark, would be easily contrasted with the surrounding lighter color of the dried out tit after it was there for a couple days. And he'll be caught if there's any foul play. He'll notice the Jewish owner when he comes back, he'll notice this dark spot on the seal. V'eino oser ad shiyashe kidei shiyiftach v'yigov megufa chadosha v'tingov. We can therefore say, as Rabbah is telling us, that if the seal is made of tit material, the only time during which we could say that there is reason for suspicion would be if enough time lapsed to create an entire new seal. If that be the case, so you wouldn't have the ability to contrast the hole, because we're not talking about a hole, there would be no chance of contrast, because it would be an entirely new seal. The problem, it's actually the salvation, arises when you're dealing with a tit color, if there would be some means of contrast. Then that would be only in the case of a hole that's pierced in a pre-existing seal with new filler material. And since one could be easily spotted having done that, that short amount of time would not be reason for suspicion in the case that the Jew informs the Gentile of his absence, of his impending absence. The Gemara now raises a question. This question lasts a few lines, as you can see from the long question indicator, the kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. Meisvei, Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel l'chachomim. V'halo shesumo nikur, bein milamalo ubein milamato. Is it not so? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that the piercing of a hole would be visible, would be nikur, recognizable, whether it be from on top or from underneath. This, of course, is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saying that according to you, the amount of time for merely piercing a hole is enough to render the wine unfit, why should that be? Says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel to them. Is it not so that the piercing of the hole would, and his subsequent trying to seal it, would actually be easily spotted? So we see that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chumash have a machlokas concerning a situation that a hole pierced and subsequently filled up would be noticeable from on top or from underneath. E amris bishlamo bishel tit machlokas. If you say unlike Rabba, but rather that in the case of the tit material, there is a controversy, unlike what Rabba said. If you notice with our markings, if you just glance back a couple lines, we have a dashed underlined divrei hakol. Rabba claimed that in the case of tit there was no controversy. This source indicates that if you are dealing with tit, if the source which features a machlokes features tit, then everything would be understandable. Hainu dikotoni, then I understand what was featured in the source that said stumo nikur bein milamala ubein milamato, that the subsequent sealing would be recognizable from on top as well as from underneath. Focusing for the moment on something being recognizable from on top. Ela I amris bishel sid machlokes. If, however, you say that the controversy between the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel features the sid material, I don't understand the expression of bein milamala. Bishlamo lamato yediyah. I understand that from the inside of the seal that was pierced, one would spot it having been tampered with, because when you stuff in filler material to a hole, you can't plan it that the filler material will be filling the hole in a smooth fashion with regard to the surrounding surface area of the inside of the lid. So that's what he means when he says bishlam alamato yediya. I understand that from the inside surface of the magufa of the seal, one would notice foul play. Elo lamalo ha lo yadia, but from on top, it's not noticeable that there was foul play. Once again, if you're dealing with the sid material, the fresh sid sealing material would have the same color as the surrounding cover of the barrel, and he could make a hole in the sid cover, fill it with filler material, smooth it out, and one would not notice foul play. So this source that we have in a frame a few lines up at the beginning of our long question, which featured a machlokes, the only way at this point to understand the contents of the source would be to explain that we're talking about tit material. And if it were tit material, then I understand that one would notice the foul play from above as well. As we mentioned earlier, the surrounding magufa would have a light color, and the fresh sealing material in the case of tit would be of a dark color. So one would notice the foul play from milamalo as well. The main point, though, is this is a kasha on Rabba. Rabba said that in the case of tit, everyone would agree that we would allow the longer amount of absence time. Here we see that there isn't everyone agreeing in the case of tit. So Rabbo answers. We have a long answer. Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel hu delo yoda mai ko'amri Rabbonan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel himself, in responding to the Chumam, was responding from a particular vantage point whereby he did not know what the opinion of the Chachamim really was. As far as the markings are concerned, we see we've introduced a house form, house shape, with an inverted house shape a few lines later. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading, Havlotas Hashitas Hachokas. We're trying to emphasize the opinions that argue with one another through these markings. So, V'hochi ko'amar lehu, thusly, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was saying to them, E b'shel tit ko'amrisu, if your shita of making a hole is the making a hole and sealing it, which is a short amount of time, we're of course dealing with time standards. So if your short time standard features a barrel sealed with tit material, then stumo nicker bein milamala bein milamata. If there's any foul play on the part of the Gentile, then he wouldn't merely pierce a hole in it, like you say, because his foul play would be noticeable whether from the upper, from the top of the seal, or from the inner surface of the seal. The E Bishel Sid Kwamrisu, and if your standard applies to a case of a Sid type barrel cover, then Nihi Dilamala Loyadia, granted from on top, the Gentile would be able to get away with his foul play, and therefore your short standard of time is applied. And that's because Dilamala Loyadia, from on top, foul play would not be noticeable. However, lamata miha yadia, but from within the surface, from the inner surface of the seal cover, of the barrel cover, foul play could still be noticeable. So your short standard is inappropriate. In other words, in such a short amount of time, the Gentile wouldn't practice foul play, because he would be afraid that if he merely made a hole in the barrel in order to dabble in it through the small hole, or drink from that small hole, and he then would seal it up with sealing material, the inside surface of the cover would be noticeable that there's the foul play took place, because it wouldn't be smooth. The sealing material would be rough yet. It wouldn't have the same. Wouldn't be smoothed out because it's on the inside surface of the pierced barrel cover. The Rabbanon who apply their standard of merely making a hole, they figure like this: Kevan de milamalo lo yadia. Since from the upper surface, it's not noticeable. Lo masik adaite de apich the chozile. It doesn't occur to the owner, to the Jewish owner of the wine, to flip it around to check out the inside surface, where in truth the foul play might be spotted. But since he comes back and sees the surface seemingly untampered with, he wouldn't know to check it out any further. He wouldn't think about flipping it over to check it out any further. And that's why the Rabbanon say that because that short amount of time lapses, enough time to make the hole and seal it up, if that lapsed with the absence of the owner, you do have a problem. Inami, zimin dechomim. And even this other approach is that sometimes he might just chance upon chola, meaning a smooth seal from the inner surface as well. In other words, it's maybe statistically unlikely, but he wouldn't be spotted. He might have stuffed it in just the exact quantity and exact inner surface nature of the sealing material to match the surrounding barrel cover from the inside surface. And even if the owner were to flip it around, he would notice nothing over there because of this possibility of it being cholim, a perfect seal. So at this point in the Gemara, the approach that Rabbah took at the beginning stands, namely that the machlokes, Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon, applies to the case of Sid, because in the case of Sid, there is a chance, as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, of foul play taking place, and with a mere hole, a standard, and the goy getting away with it. Therefore, they have to be restrictive. However, if the seal of the barrel were made of tit material, then even the Rabbanon would agree with the with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that we're not going to ban the wine unless the longer amount of time went by to make an entire new seal, because in the case of tit material, a hole that subsequently sealed would be noticeable. It would create awareness that foul play took place. Omar Rava, Halacha Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Hoil Utnan Stamo Kavosei. Rava says that we're going to accept Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion because we have a Stam Mishnah. In fact, we'll see very shortly a quote from our Mishnah, that the unnamed section of our Mishnah matches his opinion. And as a rule in legal rulings, when you have an unnamed Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, that lends a lot of weight to that particular opinion that's reflected by the Stam Mishnah. So here we have a framed section, which is in effect a quote from the end of our Mishnah. Hoya oichel imoi al hashulchan, viniach login al hashulchan, login al hadufki, vihinichol viyotza. As we may recall from the Mishnah, a Gentile and Jew were having a meal together. He left a flask of wine on the table and a flask of wine in the dulviki. The Jew got up and left the meal. Masha'al hashulchan osir, masha'al hadulviki mutter. The wine that's left on the table is forbidden, and the wine that's in the duvaki is allowed. V'im omar lo heve mozoig v'shoise, if the Jewish host invited the Gentile to serve himself, that to pour his own drinks, then af shala duvaki osir. Chovios psuchos asuros, open barrels of wine are forbidden. Stumos mutoros. It's at this point that we want to take notice of what the Mishnah says. The sealed barrels will be mutter kedei sheyiftach v'yigoyf v'sigov, provided this amount of time did not go by. How much time? Enough time to open the barrel entirely and create a new seal and have it dry out. That was the time standard that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel spoke about in the Mishnah. Hence, we have a Stam Mishnah that reflects Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's standard. The Gemara asks Pshita, what is Rava coming to inform us of? It's obvious we have here a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So, Mahu Detema, without Rava, I might have thought, Kula Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Kotoni La, that the entire section of the end of the Mishnah, the entire end section of the Mishnah, was a continuation of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel himself talking. In other words, this might be a little hard to appreciate by looking at our printed version of the Mishnayos, because in most Shas editions you'll see that there's a two dots that's on Omid Aleph before the fourth section of the Mishnah. So if you would not have the two dots there as the printers put in, one could easily see this possibility that the fourth section was simply a continuation of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who was already the speaker at the end of the third section of the Mishnah. With the two dots that are printed in, it makes this possibility a little more difficult to appreciate, but even so, using your imagination, you have to be able to appreciate the possibility that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was the speaker from the end of the third case all the way through till the end of the Mishnah. Therefore, Chomash Malon, Rava informs us that there really should be a two dots, so to speak, namely that the fourth section of the Mishnah is not a continuation of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel speaking, but rather it's a separate section that has no name in it, and hence it's called a Stam Mishnah, and therefore the opinion that the fourth section, the Stam section of Mishnah, reflects carries with it halachic weight. And since at the end of the Mishnah, which is a Stam section, an unnamed section, the opinion reflected there is similar to that of Shimon ben Gamliel, we should follow his opinion. The Gemara now asks a question, and this question lasts a few lines, as you can see from the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. V'chimei achar dekaimalon kavosei d'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel d'lo chayish l'shesuma. Once we've concluded that we will rule like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that doesn't take into consideration or does not suspect the mere piercing of a hole, as we saw that in the case of the piercing of a hole, the Gentile would be caught as having practiced foul play, dabbling in the kosher wine. So we don't worry about Shesuma, the mere piercing of it. And furthermore, V'hilchus okavosei de Rebbe Eliezer de Lochayesh Lezifa. There's another halachic ruling that says we follow Rabbi Eliezer. This was seen much earlier in the Masechta, that where you have a kosher food contained within a choysam echad, that's sealed up in one seal, we're not choshesh that Gentiles would tamper with it. They wouldn't toreach, they wouldn't trouble themselves to undo a singular seal and replace it with unkosher food. Being that we have these two, well, we can say lenient rulings, ho'idna, nowadays, my time alone, mosvinon chamra biad oivdei kochavim. Why is it that we don't entrust our barrels of kosher wine into the hands of Gentiles? To go over this, as far as the piercing of a hole is concerned and then the subsequent resealing of it, that we said we're not worried about. And as far as the undoing of the seal and forging and replacing it with a new one, based on the ruling like Rabbi Lezer, we wouldn't worry about that either. So what's the problem in entrusting kosher wine into the hands of Gentiles? The Gemara answers, there is a problem. It's Mishum Shaicha. Shaicha is a reference to a very, very narrow hole that one wouldn't notice. Rashi explains this a little further. Mishum Shaicha, Nekev Dak Me'oid Shubemegufas Chavis, a very narrow hole pierced in the seal of a barrel. Lius Reach Hayayin Yoitze. This hole is, generally speaking, sufficient to allow the wine fragrance to exit. V'yesh lochu shemo yiktach shom meinekes v'yitom minayayin. And we're fearful that maybe he inserted into such a small, unnoticeable hole a tube from which he would be able to suck up, draw up, as in a, we'll say, a very narrow straw fashion, he'd be able to drink from the wine. And if that would be the case, that would render the wine unfit. Omar Rava. Rava features two cases involving a harlot together with other men. The two cases we've noted with triangles, one and two, the second case being at the top of Daf Ayin Omid Aleph. We'll see the two variables here. Zoyna, number one, Zoyna Ovedes Kechavim, the Yisrael Mesuben Etzla, a Gentile harlot with Jewish men together with her. They're sitting around and they're drinking wine. Chamra Shori. The wine will remain kosher, will maintain its kosher status. Nihi de tokif lehu yitzro davera. Granted that these Jewish men have been overcome by their desire for immorality. Yitzro diayinesech lo tokif lehu. The desire to serve idols with the pouring of wine, that has not overcome them. So that there is no fear that they are going to allow the Zoyna Oyvedes Kechovim to ruin their wine, so to speak. Zoyna Yisraelis, at the top of Ayin Omed Aleph, we have a second case where the variables flip around. If the harlot is Jewish, the Oyvedes Kechovim is Subin, and there are Gentile men sitting around, Chamra Oser, the wine will be forbidden. Even though the Zona Yisraelis may have brought her kosher wine, the wine will be ruled forbidden. My taima. Why is that? Why is it that they will dabble in her kosher wine? Hayo v'zila alayhu basrayu grira. Literally, since she is cheap in their eyes. After all, we're dealing with harlotry and all that entails. So basrayu garira, she's drawn after them. She's considered cheap in their eyes, so to speak, and she will allow the Gentile men to pour out her wine in service of their idols. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.